In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. Today in the church, we celebrate Orthodoxy Sunday. And at its heart, this Sunday is the celebration of icons, the restoration of icons in the church after a period of opposition in the 8th and 9th centuries. People who opposed icons, called iconoclasts, quite literally came into churches and stole them, smashed them, damaged them, cut them, saying and accusing the believers of idolatry and heresy because of the proper use of icons in the church. When the faithful Orthodox realized what was happening, they would take icons home, they'd hide them, they'd bury them to keep them safe. And this went off and on for over 120 years. Finally, on the first Sunday of Lent in the year 843, the Orthodox position on icons triumphed. Icons were restored to the proper place in the church and in piety, in devotion, and as part of our worship. Many icons had to be restored physically as well. Far too many had been damaged and cracked and broken. Even icons buried for safety were often damaged by earth and soil after decades. But the faithful, when they saw these icons, even though they were broken, even though they were damaged, they still knew their value. And even though many were cracked and vandalized and filthy, they could still see their sanctity behind the grime. They could still see the image of Christ, the image of holiness in each and every one. And it would have been unthinkable to them to trash something that had intrinsic holiness, even though it had been damaged, even though it was damaged. And so everything was done to restore these damaged icons to a state of holiness. And thus icons were both restored to a proper place in the church, but also physically restored to repair the damage. Now, I've been speaking of icons as paintings and as pictures, but there are greater icons than paintings. What does the word icon mean? The word icon means image. It means image. There are images of God, images of the Lord, even greater than the best painted icons of Christ or his saints. The greatest icon is mankind. The greatest and most perfect image of God is not a painting, but a living person. This past Wednesday, we read from Genesis. God was creating mankind. And instead, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God created man in his image, which means you are the image of God. It means that you are an icon of God. And the teaching of the church is clear that the image of God in you is permanent. The image of God in you is indelible. It is unerasable. No matter what happens, that image of God in you is forever. We are created in the image of God for eternity. And we are living icons with the ability and the potential to reflect and to point to God's reality, God's beauty, and God's love. And that is your calling and potential as a living icon. But like the icons damaged by iconoclasts in the 8th century, the image of God in us gets damaged also. It gets damaged by sin. It gets damaged by our petty pursuits. It gets damaged by our neglect of neighbor. It gets damaged by our neglect of God himself, by our poor and self-absorbed decisions. That's the bad news. The image of God is in us, and we do and say everything we can to tarnish that image. Well, the good news is that, like the Orthodox faithful of the 9th century, seeing value in a damaged icon, God still sees value in you. Jesus still sees the image of God in us in spite of our sin, in spite of our agendas, in spite of our false pride. And more than just seeing the image of God hidden in us, you have not lost your value to me, Christ says. I see past your sins. Now, I happen to have in my possession this morning a crispy new $50 bill. Evelyn, how much is this worth? I can't hear you. $50. All right. I'm going to ask you to do me a favor. Would you crumple this into a tiny ball? Smaller. All right. Now, how much is it worth?
Still
$50. Still $50. That's right. Didn't matter how small she crumpled it, this bill is still worth $50. I have a Sharpie with me. Let's add some sins. How about greed, since it's money? We add greed. Let's add unforgiving. Let's add lust. Let's add pride. Let's add laziness. I could go on and on and on. I'm running out of room. Let's add backstabbing or gossip. Now, how much is that worth, Evelyn?
Still $50.
Still worth $50, huh? All right. What if I were to scorch it a little bit? Now, how much is it worth?
$50.
What if I add fangs to poor General Grant? Still worth $50? What if I tear it in half?
Still
50? What if I tear it in half again?
Still
$50. Brothers and sisters, this bill is us. This bill is us. No matter what I do to this bill, short of shredding it and setting on fire, it still holds its original value. But are we presentable to God in this condition? Would you give that as a gift? Would you give this as a wedding gift to somebody, even though it's still worth $50? Absolutely not. It still has its value, but it needs to be restored. The good news is you can take this to your bank or credit union, and your banker will recognize its value and replace it with a new bill. And that new bill is suitable for a wedding gift. In our Kentuckian today, we sang, when the Son of God came and took flesh, he restored the fallen image to its former state by uniting it to his divine beauty. The whole purpose of the incarnation is because in spite of our sin, in spite of our filth and our pride and our unforgiving and judgmental attitudes, God still sees your value and God still sees his image in you. And he sent his Son into the world to restore that image. In other words, to make you presentable for his wedding by uniting you to himself. And the ultimate restoration of an icon is not a painting. The ultimate restoration of an icon is Jesus Christ restoring your fallen image to its former and glorious state. Now, the fact that the restoration of icons falls on the first Sunday of Lent was an historical coincidence. But I think it's more than just an accident. I think God's hand was in it because Lent is our season to put away filth. Lent is our season to put away spiritual laziness and to let Christ repair the damage, to uncover the hidden image of God inside. That's the purpose of Lent. And just like you can take a mutilated $50 bill and you can go to the bank and you can get a new one, you can also repent of your old ways. You can present yourself to Jesus Christ at the foot of his cross. You can also present yourself to the church. And that image of God in you will be restored. And that image of God in you will be made new again. And you will be presentable to attend his wedding. Amen.
Amen.